Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management. Welcome back to the Mobility Management Podcast. And today I'm joined by Josh Anderson, Jim Black, and Sarah Leonard of Sunrise Medical and RGK. Josh Anderson is VP of Business Development for Sunrise Medical North America. He began his career in 1993, working for a CRT provider in Miami. In 1998, Josh helped create the first Spinergy wheels for wheelchairs and started its wheelchair division. In 2004, Josh joined Tylight, where he was responsible for the launch and marketing of its manual portfolio. Josh has presented extensively at seating and mobility conferences on topics such as wheelchair skills training and manual wheelchair prescription for independent propulsion. A wheelchair rider himself, Josh has served as president of the board of directors for Users First, and now Josh is leading the introduction of ultra-lightweight made-to-measure RGK wheelchairs in North America. Jim Black is Director of Strategic Accounts and Business Sales for RGK North America. Jim has more than 30 years of experience in complex rehab technology sales, product management, and marketing, with a focus on made-to-measure manual mobility. As a three-time Paralympian, Jim understands the benefits of a truly made-to-measure product. His resume includes being the Director of Business Development and Sales for NewMotion and being Permobil's Manual Product and Marketing Director. Jim now manages RGK sales in North America and is involved in the strategic and tactical development of product programs. Sarah Leonard, PT, DPT, ATP, works for Sunrise Medical US as a clinical educator in the Northeast region. As a physical therapist, Sarah has specialized in neuro rehab and spinal cord injury, and as an ATP, she's worked for a national CRT supplier. Additionally, Sarah serves as the assistant coach for the United States Wheelchair Rugby Association Low Point team. She's the head coach of the Shepherd Smash and has been an active participant in adaptive sports and recreation throughout her career. And our podcast today is sponsored by RGK. RGK believes in challenging the conventional, breaking down barriers, and empowering people. As RGK said, good is not good enough. If we can build a better product for customers, we have an obligation to do so, and we are relentlessly pursuing that goal. From using state-of-the-art materials, to precision measurements to the millimeter, to a better way to order using design templates and the RGK Genius program, RGK is revamping the way made-to-measure is done and is powering your wheelchair riders' ambitions. Josh, Jim, and Sarah, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having us, Lori.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. This is fun.
A little bit of background as we get started. Sunrise Medical acquired RGK, which is based in the United Kingdom, in 2015. Earlier this year, you might have started to see RGK wheelchairs at Abilities Expos, but in August, Sunrise officially launched RGK in North America, which is what we're here to talk about today. And in fact, this podcast is the first of our conversations with RGK. We're starting by talking with Josh and Jim and Sarah, who will talk about the foundation of RGK's made-to-measure process. And Jim and Josh are both longtime wheelchair riders. They'll talk candidly about how this philosophy shapes and impacts the mobility experiences they have every day. And then in future episodes, we'll be talking with clinicians to ask their opinions on the factors that make for successful ultra-lightweight wheelchair outcomes. But today we're starting at the start. And my first question is about made-to-measure, as in, quote, RGK wheelchairs are made to measure, end quote. Because in complex rehab, we hear the phrases custom configured and custom fit quite a lot. So what exactly does made to measure mean to RGK? And how does made to measure compare to custom configured, for example?
I think let's unpack that question a little bit, because there's a couple things there, Lori. First, I would start with just a little bit of what the definition is. Custom configured is where components are pulled off of the shelf and the chair is built around the rider based off of components that are pre-made. And made to measure is where everything from the fabrication of that chair is done specifically for that rider, meaning that you start with a straight tube and it's cut, bent, mitered, and welded specifically for that rider's exact needs. in the case of RGK, we actually take that fit to a more finite level, meaning that instead of just the traditional 1-inch increments on 20 or 30 different measurements, we go to a 1/4-inch increments on 30 different measurements, or up to 30 different measurements. So we're able to basically build that chair proportionately around the rider's body in every way. So that's the big difference between custom configuration, where you're pulling components off the shelf, and made to measure.
Yeah, I totally agree, Josh. But if I look at the evolution of wheelchair design, particularly like in the 80s versus the 90s versus now, you saw custom configuration because that's what we had. We had a small, medium, and large, but we had ways to develop or move the wheels, the front and the rear wheels, to create better weight distribution. And I think today's market, custom configuration becomes a problem because you're not able to control that front caster or where that wheel is going to be, that front wheel is going to be. So there's a misnomer between the two at this point. And that is really controlling that wheelbase. And I think as we evolve in here, made to measure really gives you the ability to control the weight distribution of the rider himself and really understand that a wheelchair is a vehicle, and controlling the weight distribution is going to give you a better rolling dynamics and less resistance when you're trying to propel a chair.
And I think that's the second part of your question, Lori, is why do we feel made to measure is so important? And Jim's spot on, is that with made to measure, we can build that chair proportionally, no matter what the rider's configuration is, proportionally around their body. Perfect example of that is myself. I'm 6'9", and being able to build that chair proportionally around my body, we wouldn't be able to do that without made to measure, because I just fall outside of the normal size range. So being able to build that chair for me to fit me and my lifestyle is critical. I can make the chair as stable as I need it to be for transfers. And let's face it, as you get a little bit older, that stability changes, and having a little bit more of that is a good thing. Being able to interface the rear wheels for me is a critical element as well. And we can control all of those things, including the wheelbase, the position of my front casters, so that the chair is forward stable and laterally more stable. We can rein in all of those different measurements with made to measure. And that is critical to somebody who is either outside of that normal size range and wouldn't have access to this type of equipment.
From the therapist perspective too, each of us, no matter how long they've been practicing, have had a patient who really wants to dial things in. They've been in a chair for a period of time and they want to optimize their system. Sometimes they run out of ability depending on what chair or what opportunities they have in terms of measurement. But additionally, I think if you pulled therapists across a room, just go back to width, just start there. You're choosing between a 15 or a 16. The reality of my measurement is probably somewhere in between that. So to have the opportunity to really dial that in, working on a 1/4-inch increment, really makes a difference. You're talking about maneuverability, width, somebody's access to their environment. So I think from a rider's perspective, absolutely, it's a great opportunity. But even from a therapist's perspective, if we think about it long enough, we even want the ability to dial that in that much more for our clients.
It's interesting you say that, Sarah, because I totally agree with what you're talking about. But one of the evolution of what I've learned in the industry for the last 30 years is, that MAT assessment that the clinical side would go. And the misconception is out there is, how do you take that beautiful MAT assessment that you do as a clinician and put that into a design? And we can do it with some custom configuration if we can move things around, but that's only one part of the evaluation when you're talking about mobility. And that's critical. That's critical to understand. There's guys like Stephen Mitchell, who's a clinician that really understands this, and he knows that an angle will change here, a wheelbase will change there. But taking that MAT assessment And the misconception I see in our industry is being able to put that into a chair design or put that into it. You can take those points of references and you can build a chair around there with a made to measure product. And that's the critical key to it. But it takes a team. It takes all of the different levels of the team to bring this together. And that's where sports and that's where rigid chair design, it's a real difficult thing to take that clinical side and do that beautiful evaluation a therapist does with the angles and things that we need to do on a mat, and then kind of take that information and put it into your evaluation or your chair design. So I love the clinics that we see. I love the clinics that you're in, and I love the collaboration because I've worked with you that you have, Sarah. So you always ask those questions, but you always bring that team approach. So that's refreshing. I think if anybody's learning here, you can't do this alone. We need a big team to get it right. And that is the writer. That's the clinician. That's the subject matter expert. All of the nuances of that ATP world that you need.
Totally agree. I mean, I've had some great mentors in my life, but I will be the first to say the most I've learned is from riders. So that's super important for clinicians to hear and to understand.
Okay, well, let's talk about that team approach for a second, because when I was talking to you all earlier, you mentioned that RGK has committed to having one of you or another RGK specialist available in person or virtually for every wheelchair assessment that is done, every RGK wheelchair that is going to be built, to make sure the measurements are being done correctly and that everybody understands what's going on. So is that part of it? Because you just want a team approach, you want an RGK expert there, but you also want someone who understands made to measure, knows the precision of the measurements, et cetera?
I think what the RGK Genius is adding is that, as Jim pointed out, that's a subject matter expert on what RGK is capable of doing. So during that evaluation process, as Jim pointed out, you want the clinician, you want the rider, you want the ATP. We're offering this service so that there's no delay in, we want to do this with the chair. Can we do that? Where are we measuring exactly? Every chair measures, or every manufacturer measures a little differently. So when you're going down to a quarter of an inch increment, you want to be very, very precise with where you're taking those measurements. And that's what we're offering up is the RGK Genius, so that we are as precise as we can be with all of those measurements, as well as being a subject matter expert on the equipment, so that if there is some special requirement, if there is some special need, or there is some question when we get to a certain part of the process or the designing of that chair for the individual, we can answer it on the spot. And by doing so and being involved at that level, the ownership, it falls on the RGK Genius to make sure that that chair is right for the individual. If it's not, it's on us and we'll take that back. So it also cuts down a lot of the back and forth if there is something that's not correct with the product.
Or if somebody's uncomfortable with it, right? If somebody's not really sure about the measurements, you'll be there to kind of say, no, let's do it this way. Yes. This is why we're doing it this way, or this is why I need this particular measurement.
Absolutely.
So Lori, you're absolutely right. And just to tag on to Josh, is it's really that beginning process, the interview process, knowing the client. You have to be solution-based. You know, I've made 30 years of mistakes. Trust me, I've done them all. Really, what we're there to do is really to kind of talk with the rider, talk with the clinician, talk with what you're trying to do, and not get your crystal ball out, but really understand that, hey, this is, if I do this with a seat height, or if I do this with this, this is what it's going to affect. These are the pros and cons of why you're doing what you're doing. And then let the team make that assessment. So it's like rolling over grass, for example. If I don't extend my wheelbase and rolling in a park or rolling over snow, I don't want to front load those casters. So if a client comes to me and says, yeah, my chair is tipping forward, what do I do? We have solutions for you. This is what I would do, and this is why I would do it. it's your choice. You can make this choice, but this is how we do this. And that's what that subject matter expert's going to help. We really follow on that clinical side and try to follow what that clinician, what their outcomes they were trying to get. We just help in that process. We're all we are is helping them with the experiences that we've had in our past and understanding manufacturing, what can be done and what can't be done. It's just a critical part of the assessment.
And I think that part's awesome because, you know, as a clinician, it's a little bit intimidating, to be honest, because you hold a responsibility to your client. You know, you're making some of these decisions and they're coming to you as the expert of how to make that determination for them for 5+ years moving forward. And the reality is we're all limited in life by whatever experiences we've had, right? You might have only encountered 1 6'9" client in your life, insert Josh, right? So to have that support and to be able to have that conversation, you know, I think it's a commitment to Josh and Jim just kind of giving back after a career to say, you know, we're here to teach people. We're here to pass on our knowledge. It's important that after everything we've been through, that there are people that can carry this forward. So as a clinician, I really appreciate it. I love the idea. I miss, you know, being able to do this in the clinic, but certainly proud to be part of their team.
Okay, so if somebody is not all that familiar with RGK, they know who RGK is and everything, but they're feeling a little intimidated by all these measurements, they shouldn't, because you can help walk them through that portion. They will be the subject matter experts on what they know, but you will take over the RGK part. You know your product, you know what you can accomplish as a manufacturer, you understand the measurements, and then the clinician like Sarah would be in there going, okay, guys, I have a little question about transfers. So can we talk about transfers in the wheelchair setup? And then you would talk about that kind of all together in collaboration, right?
Absolutely. So I think what is really important is, and Jim said it very well, we have 30 years, you know, Jim and I have been working with manual chairs each for about 30 years. We've made all kinds of mistakes. We've also gotten to see a lot of really great solutions, right? And so we can draw upon that knowledge for unique situations. And because we're working with a chair that's so highly made to measure, we can do a lot of these things and really fine tune it. You know, we've talked about myself being so tall. Jim and I have also done chairs for individuals that are super active and aren't quite as tall and need special requirements in their chair so that they're as stable, they have good rolling dynamics, but yet they're able to perform their job. And so those individuals have really unique requirements. And we've seen a lot of this, you know, in our years of doing this. And we can draw from that experience so that hopefully we can help the seating team with better solutions for that rider that we're working with.
It's a great point. It's not just for an active user, Lori. You know, it's for all users. Even if I look back to the past when I worked at Craig for a short time and I looked at every chair would come out with a caster pin lock, for example, which is a great design. But what a caster pin lock, for people that don't understand, it's taking a trailing position caster, flipping that trailing position more forward to give you more forward stability and lock that in. Well, if you think about it, why wouldn't we just increase that wheelbase at the beginning, bring those wheels in to create the same stability for transfers, that safety for that tetra or that quad, and then you don't lose the rolling dynamics or any of that by bringing the casters in. That's the value that we have today and the technology that we can do is we can take that old school mentality to create stability into a product, and we can build it into the product without having a lot of moving parts and a lot of other nuances. And that's just one little facet. So depending upon your disability to try to reach for things, rehab is a compromise. What we do, complex rehab, it's a compromise. So we have to figure out, you know, hey, I can find the middle point here and I can tell you why this will be better solution for you. This is a common sense physics around it. And then we can build the chair around that. That's a huge value to have solutions for people that live in this chair. Mobility is an afterthought in a lot of different directions. And And I think it should be at the forefront. I think having a mobility device that is the health and wellness of that user is so important. It's all about configuration. It's all about the fit. It's all about safety.
Sounds like that you are making with RGK, every wheelchair rider is going to be seen as unique. So before, maybe, you know, you do these highly customized made to measure chairs for people like Jim when he was a Paralympian, right? Then there's no questions asked. You obviously want your elite athletes to have the very, very best chairs. So you'll do all the measuring that you need to do and nobody questions why we're doing that. But for people who are not Paralympians, it sounds like you're taking this like average user and giving them this unique, just for them, entirely built for them sort of environment. Is that
I say 100% fair? Yes, 100%. And the reason your question, I think, is kind of near and dear to me. And it is from the standpoint that if you have someone who has had a spinal cord injury, a neuromuscular condition, whatever that may be, and they want to get back out there and they want to have, quote unquote, that normal lifestyle. They want to go out, they want to work, they want to date, they want to live their life just as anyone else would. That is a person that I want to help the most. I don't think that everybody, you know, needs a made to measure chair. If your only goal is to get out of bed and go sit in front of the TV and click a remote, then, you know, it's not necessary. But if you want to go out there and you want to live your life, just think of how empowering this is. That person is now contributing to the system and not drawing off the system. You know, a whole other side topic is here in the U.S., we have a propensity to kind of say, oh, it's okay to stay home. You know, you've had this injury, you've had this condition. Why? That's a whole nother subject and maybe another podcast for us. But I firmly believe that if somebody is out there and they are working hard to contribute and, you know, living an active lifestyle, then we owe it to them to make sure that we get them in the best possible equipment so that they have the least amount of complications down the road. You know, if we put somebody in the wrong chair and the wheels aren't in the right position for propulsion, we're doing more damage. If we're not creating the optimal rolling dynamics, we're doing more damage. We want to make sure that we really do our best. And it's not always possible. I totally understand that. You know, I wish that everybody that needed this type of equipment could get it. But that's not always the case.
But Josh, there is evidence out there. I mean, there was a great study done by the University of Pittsburgh. You know, Joe Ott, I believe was his name. It was at ISS a couple years ago, and it was eye-opening. It's stuff that we've known, but now it's in print, and it shows clinicians and shows the world, you know, when I put on a solid tire, what does that mean when it comes to rolling resistance? What does that mean when it becomes to forces that you're pushing an extra 80 pounds of force? You know, some of these fragile bodies, I mean, they need to have something roll efficiently and reducing rolling resistance. That's the health of that user. We all know, we've all learned that if you live in a wheelchair, there's a lot of pain that comes involved in, and we get hurt by the setup, we get hurt by the transfers. There's just a lot of different directions we can go. Why not show how you can minimize it, or at least give somebody the option to be able to minimize rolling resistance of a product and understand configuration? You always talk like this, Josh, when you talk about OSHA, and if you were able-bodied working in a factory, you know, if you live in a wheelchair, you would be thrown in jail with the OSHA laws. So we need to be better. We need to be better at helping people understand how we can hurt your muscles, your joints, all of the different things that go. And again, I'm not a clinician. I'm not a scientist. I've just been doing this a really long time and made a lot of mistakes, guys. And just the conversations with Sarah as a clinical side of it, I know she sees this, Sarah, and I don't want to speak for you, but I know you see this when you've been out in the field. we talked about, you know, some of those tall clients, and we had some pretty great conversations about it. What are the solutions here, you know, and how do we make a better outcome?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've learned a lot, like I said, you know, just working with Josh and Jim, but they've lived it. I've only ever been on the outside looking in, but I can tell you the folks that I've worked with, every one of them has only ever asked for an opportunity. You know, they want the opportunity to get better, to live their life, to get home. And, you know, they have goals set forth in front of them. And, you know, it's humbling because for me, that's all I want to do is empower them to the next step. You know, there are no limits. There are opportunity, but it's really hard to see when you have so many barriers set in front of you. So to be a part of the team that can provide them the mobility that can eliminate some of those barriers is very, to me, empowering in return, you know, but also I think it's an essential component. You know, we have a responsibility to be part of the solution and not the problem.
I think you said it well, Sarah. It is humbling. You know, when somebody's out there and they're making a concerted effort, this type of equipment is not a luxury. This is a necessity. And equating it to a luxury is just a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I've never really understood why people don't question the minute microscopic measurements done for like a prosthetic limb, for instance. If you're walking on a prosthetic leg, they don't say, do you want tall, average, or short height for your leg? Right? And there's so right. And they will adjust and adjust. And if you're getting a pressure injury on your stump, they will adjust and adjust and because they want to get it right. Yet with wheelchairs, it doesn't seem like they are treated in that same way. It does seem much more like a small, medium, large, at least from some funding sources.
It goes back to the original size for chairs, right? So there was small, medium, and large. And I actually think the term wheelchair hinders us. It's a wheeled prosthetic, right? What Sarah's creating, you know, when she's designing a chair, what Jim's doing through the design template, through building that chair proportionately, as Jim says, around the rider's body, that's a wheeled prosthetic.
It's crazy you say that because it's really, so. I mean, I'm not going to do this forever. And my legacy that I would like to leave in this is really have the same rights that we do for other parts of our industry, and the prosthetic side of it has done a great job. When I look at Medicare and I look at what a K5 gets for Medicare, you know, between $1,800 and $2,500, depending upon where you're at. But if I look at a below the knee amputation, which is a horrific as well, that can get around with crutches, but they can do a lower leg prosthetic and get over $10,000 for it, or even $15,000, and go through that whole process. For a tetra and a para at a high level, can't even get $1,800, $2,200, $2,500 for a chair. There's something wrong with what we do. That is wrong. And we have a lot of evidence now. We have a lot of people that have lived this life. I have seen people in my career that are no longer here because of injuries that have happened in a bad fit. And it's appalling. It's appalling what we see. And sorry, guys, I'm on my platform here, but we need to change this. And we have the power to do this. We're in an era where we saw fraud in our industry. We need to change it. We need to be professionals and make the right decisions to help somebody in their life. It's not a luxury. It's a mobility device. It's our life. And again, sorry, I'm going down a wrong direction here, Lori, but it is a passion of mine, and it's something that I'd really like to be involved in trying to fix.
Now, Jim, I fed that line to you. I mean, let's be honest. I said prosthetics because I knew that was going to, you know, I knew Jim couldn't just sit on his hands for that one. But that's a nice segue for what we'll be talking about in the next RGK podcast. Jim, for instance, has been mentioning rolling resistance, overall efficiency and propulsion. I think I'm sure Sarah has a lot to say about why people get injured and, you know, why there's extra pain. Josh and Jim know firsthand about pain, also fatigue and reduced sitting tolerance probably in the wheelchair if you're not propelling as efficiently as you could. So could you just give me a brief little sneak peek into what we'll be talking about? Because I think next time we'll be talking about performance and quality of life?
I think, some specifics and some evidence of what really causes rolling resistance, I think would be a great topic or a great segue to go down. You know, the mistakes that have been made by myself and other people, I think just learning from that and really understanding that and making your own decision from that point, you know, I think it's pretty important. I think configuration is highly important, but I think there's so many facets to make a better rolling product, to make a healthier product. The health and wellness depends upon us, guys. That's what I see.
I think Jim's right. Rolling dynamics and the center mass of the rider. So I would tack on to that the stability that we can get too, right? So we want to make that chair as efficient as possible for the rider, but also what can we do to make it so that the rider has more stability in the product? And what does that stability look like? How do we define, you know, what is for the individual quality of life? And how does a chair affect that?
Now, from the clinical perspective, just understanding, you know, what is most commonly, what are some of the pitfalls that we see? You know, what are some of the things we've done in the past that, you know, maybe we wouldn't do twice or maybe admit out loud in a group? But, you know, ultimately, like Jim said, we make mistakes, right? So we need to understand how these chairs are being optimized over time, what people are doing to improve the performance. That way, when we see our next client or we're introduced to the next rider, that, you know, we have a little bit of a toolbox on how to tackle some of these problems and make sure, you know, they don't happen again.
And Lori, just, you know, the RGK Genius, that's another segue of what that the RGK Genius, if they get involved and they make a suggestion to think outside the box to try to create better solutions and it doesn't work, we'll rebuild them a chair. That's the guarantee we give. We believe so passionately about this that, hey, if you're having a problem here, what is the solution here? How do we take care of it? Clinicians are under so much stress, and I work for NewMotion on this. They're under a lot of stress to make, if you make a mistake, it's with that rider for the next 5 years or more. And so it's hard for them to think outside the box. We need to look at other ways to make a better product. And that's the guarantee that we try to give. If it costs us a chair or two down the road, with a bad measurement, I'd rather have that rider in something that's working for them and it's healthier for them.
Oh, thanks, Jim and Josh, Sarah, thank you as well for talking to me about RGK and the made-to-measure strategy and for promising to come back next time when we'll focus more on performance, quality of life, and this, some of the specifics we'll go into more detail about. And with that, we'll wrap up this first podcast sponsored by RGK. Mobility management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our podcasts is to subscribe, and you can do that. And you can also listen to this podcast on our website, mobilitymgmt.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.